today's news conference. In a moment, I will ask Dr. Alan Churchill to bring greetings and a few brief remarks. Dr. Churchill is the senior pastor at Dominion Chalmers United Church, and for almost the last 2 years, he has served as the chairman of the organizing committee for the mission. And then following his remarks, Dr. Churchill will formally introduce our special guest, Mr. Graham. Mr. Graham has some opening comments prepared, and there's a printed copy back at the press table where you signed in if you didn't pick it up. And then following the remarks, we have scheduled a time for questions and answers. I'd like to call on Dr. Alan Churchill.
Thank you very much, Barbara. It's my pleasure on behalf of the executive and the general committees and the working committees of the National Capital Region Billy Graham Mission to welcome you here to the press conference today. We're excited to have Mr. Billy Graham here. Some of you will say, why do you not call him Dr. Graham? And he has been awarded so many doctorates that he certainly deserves to be called that, but he is a very humble man, and he will say, one day I will stand before God, and God will say to him, Mr. Graham, what have you done with your life? And so he prefers to be addressed as Mr. Graham. We're delighted to have you here. Just a few preliminary remarks. The last interdenominational evangelistic mission was held in the nation's capital 92 years ago, in 1906, under the ministry of R.A. Torrey of Chicago. That was a significant event. Among the converts at that time was one Mr. Alf Allen. Not exactly a household name in Ottawa today, but if anybody knew their boxing history, they would realize that he was the middleweight boxing champion of Canada in 1906. And he was converted through the preaching of R.A. Torrey here. He hung up his gloves, he attended Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and he took up his own ministry, including a ministry of evangelism. Furthermore, from the Torrey Crusade came the inspiration to meet the material needs of the down and out, and our local Union Mission for Men was born. For over a quarter of a century, concerned Christians in this city have been praying for a major mission to raise the consciousness of the populace to consider seriously our spiritual and moral needs. The question has been whether or not the churches in the area had the will to put aside secondary denominational issues in order to focus on the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Declining church influence in the community and declining church attendance finally led to a new and cooperative spirit. As a result, we now have some 470 congregations representing some 42 different denominations participating in the support and planning for this present mission. Of those 470 congregations, 60 happen to be Roman Catholic, 54 United Church of Canada, and many from Anglican, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, Christian and Missionary Alliance, Brethren, Baptist, Associated Gospel, Pentecostal, and many others. This is a unique event in terms of the reconciling act of churches coming together to support a mission like this. We have been planning and working very hard for well over a year with an executive committee of 12 and a general committee of 40, together with 16 working committees. We have had 3,700 women at a special women's meeting at which Mr. Graham's daughter, Gigi, spoke. We had over 3,200 men at a special men's meeting with Paul Henderson and Jerry Morgan and others. And over 6,000 youth at a special youth rally at Lansdowne Park. Prayer meetings have been underway on a continuous basis across the region from the beginning. Over 9,000 people attended Christian Life and Witness classes as a refresher course on the Christian faith, out of which has come over 3,000 counselors for the mission meetings themselves. We hope and trust that the Correll Center, which holds 18,500, will be full, and we are putting up 15,000 chairs for the overflow outside. There, on the east side of the Correll Center, people will be able to see and hear Mr. Graham on an 18 by 25 foot Jumbotron screen, which we brought out from Southern California for the occasion. We have special musical guests coming, including Ben Heppner and Tracy Dahl, Susan DeGlucark, the Montreal Jubilation Gospel Choir, Lena DiPaolo, an orchestra drawn from the Ottawa Symphony and the region, and from Nashville, Jars of Clay and Michael W. Smith. And of course, George Beverly Shea, a native of Winchester, Ontario, will be singing. What is our purpose in all of this? It is to provide biblical answers to spiritual questions that any thinking or concerned person might have, and to stimulate life in the local church. Why Billy Graham? Because he has a proven track record developed over 50 years of effective ministry. He has proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ to more people across the world than any other single preacher in history. Moreover, Mr. Graham is highly respected. He is a man of integrity. He also works side by side with local churches in a thoroughly cooperative way. We are delighted that God has used him so effectively over half a century. And now today, it is my privilege, on behalf of the executive and the general committees, to welcome Mr. Graham to our nation's capital. Mr. Graham.
Thank you, Dr. Churchill. It's a privilege for us to be here, and I represent a group of people that have come from various parts of the world to help and participate in these meetings. We're so used to saying the word crusade because that's what we've called them for some years. When we started out, we called them campaigns, and then we switched it to crusade for some reason. I've forgotten now what the reason was. Then I found out that the word crusade is not a very good term when we think of history and the crusades that took place some centuries ago in the Middle East. And so we have changed to mission, which is a very excellent title to give it, because that's what this is a mission. But I would like to say how delighted I am, and I'm sure I'll speak for the people that have come with me, all come together, to be back in Canada. We love Canada. Every time I see that maple leaf anywhere in the world, my heart warms just as it does when I see the stars and stripes, and sometimes even more, because I love this country. We've held a number of our meetings from coast to coast in this wonderful country. I think we've been to all the maritime provinces. We've held our meetings in Vancouver, Victoria, Winnipeg, and so many other cities in Canada. And we have a tremendous number of friends here in this country. And of course, here we stand on the very border of Ontario and Quebec. And I was invited to hold a crusade, and we called the crusade then in Montreal. And I couldn't go, so my brother-in-law, Lane Ford, went and held some wonderful meetings there. The people were very responsive to his preaching of the gospel. Several of our associates that are with me are Canadians by birth, and especially the man that's traveled with me more than anybody else, except Cliff Barris, Winchester. I asked somebody today, I said, where is Winchester? I haven't been there, and I haven't been able to find it on the map. They said, well, it's south of here. So Bev, we call him Bev. That's short for Beverly. And he sings today as well as he did 20 or 30 years ago. That seems to change. And God has given him an amazing gift of singing. And he's known more than any other singer, I suppose, in religious work anywhere in the world. And we're honored that he's still with us after all these years, or we're with him. I don't know which came first. But we're delighted that we were invited to come here by the churches, and how it has grown. The number of churches have grown, and different groups have come in to support the others. And I believe we're going to see a move of God's Spirit. We're praying for two things, at least I am. First, that there would be a general spiritual awakening. By that I mean that people would at least talk about God and religion and Christ for the next few weeks, few months, that there'll be a consciousness that God is here doing something. And then the second thing would be evangelism. Evangelism is asking people to make their commitment to Christ. And we are praying that many people will do that. We don't have any figures or statistics or suggestions as to what the statistics should be. Because if just one person comes to Christ, all of this will be worthwhile if what the Bible says is true about eternity and about what eternity is going to be. And so we may be here just for one person, or for 1,000, or for 5,000, to try to win them to Christ. Not only do we try to win them by speaking, preaching the gospel, but by our lives. I hope they can look at us and see that we're a little bit different in the sense that we live Christian lives, trying to follow in the footsteps of Christ. Now I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have. You know, I was talking to Alan Churchill a few moments ago, and I said I visited the Pope on several occasions. And in fact, when he was made Pope that very same day, I was preaching in his cathedral in Krakow, Poland. And we went out on the street. They were shouting, Polish Pope, Polish Pope. So I knew it couldn't be Cardinal Wyszynski. We had just left him in Warsaw, where they kindly given me an honorary doctor's degree. And I knew he was a little old to be in that position of Pope. And then it occurred to me it was probably Wojtyła from Krakow. And of course it was. He was host. And it wasn't long until we had an opportunity to go to Rome to see him, and later on other occasions to meet with him. And I'm delighted to see that the Catholic Diocese here is supporting this, these meetings. And yesterday I had the privilege of meeting with some of the leaders, and one of them was the Archbishop. We had a wonderful time of discussion and prayer together, and I believe this is going to bring about a whole new unity among the churches, and that's one of the things we hope will happen, that they will do other things together as they're doing this together. And I appreciate the coverage that has been in the press, media, before we got here, and since we've been here, we didn't expect that, at least I didn't. been to Canada before. And citizen has done more than just cover our being here this time. They have given a background and given a substance to this whole thing, which I think is quite remarkable. Because we've heard from Mr. Churchill about Dr. R.A. Torrey being the last one here to hold a series of meetings. I didn't realize that he was the last. His daughter was one of my professors in college. Knew the Torrey family very well. Of course, I've read his books. Had a hard time plagiarizing on some of his sermons because he was a powerful preacher, but he was an intellectual. He was also a lawyer, and he was really a schoolman, a professor, and he didn't shout and scream like you've seen some of the evangelists on television. He gave more lecture-type messages, and he just proclaimed the gospel because he believed that the gospel was the power of God, salvation, and he made it clear and plain. And that's what we want. That's what I want to do. I want to just declare to you with my colleagues a simple gospel of Christ and make it as simple as we can so that even the children can understand what we're talking about. And I want to answer the question, who is Christ? Because I found just in my own private conversations that a number of people don't really know who Christ is. And talk about why God allows so much suffering if God is a God of love. Why does he allow suffering in the world? Many people ask that question. They ask it of me. And I want to, on the first night, which is next Thursday night, I want to answer that question. Why does God allow so much suffering? God of love. And I want to go into those type of things that people are asking. And I hope that the messages will be relevant and simple. And I pray to that effect.